You're listening to Behind the Swords, a podcast about the podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special first of season two Behind the Swords episode. How are my friends here doing? Blaze and Derek and Ash and Mikey. How's it going?
Oh, just fantastic.
Yeah. Good.
So good.
I enjoy when we talk.
That's great.
I like we all just like jump on it. Like,
it's perfect.
That's how we should set it up. Podcasts.
Yeah, just talk over each other.
I also like the fact that we have a new theme song just for the Hired Swords. Blaze, why don't you give them a little sneak peek of what the theme song is?
Yeah, give them a little show of the new one.
Boom, cat, boom, boom, cat. Yeah, we're the Swords.
That was so good. Thank you for listening.
Wow.
We'll see you guys next time.
9 minutes intro song.
9 minutes. So we're going to take some time and just kind of talk about what has gone down the last several episodes of season two. We are... You know, the crew up to this point has been making their way through the wilds, trying to get from Wild Hill up as far north as they can. And so it looks like we're about close to 13, 15 somewhere, but depending on where this releases, episodes into season two. And we are, again, working our way north, trying to get to what has been called the Untouched Lands, track down what's causing this darkness and the crazy monsters. It all started in Wild Hill and has progressed beyond there, traveled to the Goblin Village and beyond into Lonely Hill, and now ended up in this river where this last battle ensued. And so I just want to start by asking all of you, and how about we roll initiative to see who goes first in answering the questions?
Let's do it.
Oh.
Add your personal dex modifier. How dexterous are you as an individual?
A
as a
zero. Human
being? 12 minus 9.
Plus 20.
Roll a 6.
Ooh, Ash is a plus 20.
Yeah.
20 plus 17. Looking pretty good.
I rolled a 2, and I don't think any plus is really going to help me out there.
All right.
I rolled a 6, and my dex is meh.
Meh.
I rolled 12, and I don't even know what dex is. That's how bad it is.
I've never experienced a dex before. So.
I rolled 6, and I'm closer to 40 than anything.
So, Ash, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 17 plus my 20 dex.
Oh, yeah, nice.
A bunch of chumps.
So we have Ash, followed by Derek, followed by Blaze, and Mikey is... So we'll start with Ash. The question I'm going to ask all of you is what direction, if you had any, what directions did you have expectations, or what were your expectations for the direction season two would go? And how closely has what happened followed those expectations?
I feel for Gwendolyn. Hang on. I'm sorry I called you guys chumps. I don't think you guys are chumps.
We're good. We're good.
I'm not going to forgive you.
I assume you're talking about them and not me.
That's fair.
But as for Gwendolyn, she's like a wild card. I don't know what my expectations were for her in season two. I guess I wanted her to grow up a little more and be more of an adult, because in the first season, she's kind of a child and doesn't really know anything. She's still learning about the world. And with this season, I was hoping to make her more grown up, but she's still going to have those little childish aspects about her. But as we've seen so far, it's some weird things has happened to Gwen. I, as a player, I don't know where that's going to go. Because again, it's the wild card. And if she's like me, which she is, mood swings are a thing and they will happen. She has very strong emotions. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. So how about Derek?
I try not to have any expectations anyways. Like, I come in and just like want to listen to whatever story that you're producing for us and then just be a part of it. I figured we'd have plenty of RP because we've been pretty good at the role playing thing. But beyond that, I didn't really have anything that I was expecting or assuming was going to happen. I just go with the flow sort of thing.
Nice, nice. Next would be Blaze.
Well, as far as expectations are concerned, the campaign I think that it, early season two, going to the Goblin Village was really fun. I had a ton of fun playing around with Gis and Kevin the Goblin and Vale and whatnot. And then the fight there, the fight in the Goblin Village really kind of set the stone of like, oh, we're really ramping things up a bit. And I definitely feel like fights in season two have been Big Daddy fights in comparison to season one. Chief, but it was.
Yeah. He was supposed to be Big Daddy fight. The dice did not have it go that way.
No. Now, as far as like character advancement and stuff, I'm going to have to say that Kriggs is advancing kind of how I expected. He's goofy, but trying to just like stay posy for everybody, but it's not that easy. He is still an old veteran that has seen some things, and I think especially where we left off and kind of the stuff that's happened, he's scared that he's not ready for it and wondering if he's not ready, because I don't think he really believes in anyone as much as he does himself. And that's not a fault of anyone. It's just, you know, by the power of his hands, he's going to forge his own fate. And I'm really nervous for the next little bit in this campaign. It's real sketchy.
Yeah. All right, Mikey.
You probably get sucked into the water by a giant water monster so many times before you realize like, oh, this isn't child's play anymore.
I got you, boo.
So going into this, I had expectations for it to be a little darker. I mean, we were literally going to the shadow lands, or, you know, the equivalent. And I think it was a really interesting turn to have the battles turn into a little bit more intense and a little bit more, consequential for decisions. And I've been enjoying, as we've been kind of pushing down and seeing, you know, each area that we're going, the difference that we're seeing, it's evolving with us. I think from Joxer's perspective, he's almost like getting to the point where he wants everybody to survive so bad he doesn't trust them anymore, in a way that it's like, I don't want you to be in the fray. I want, you know, fodder to be in the fray. I don't want anybody else to get hurt. And then that's where like it seems like his character is growing into.
Yeah, that's good. I think on my end, I knew I was going to ramp up combat and make it a little more, feel like there's a little more skin in the game. I still feel like it's softer than it could be, believe it or not. I just feel like it's, and I swear this is not by design. It seems like it's this classic, like Saturday morning action cartoon, like right before the end of the episode, it looks like all is lost. And at the beginning of the next episode, here's how we get through it and move forward, right? And that's just how it's happening.
Yeah.
Ash's Nat 20 that we did not plan. That was a real Nat 20 on her death saving throw. Yeah, there was all this stuff that would have made that whole next episode more combat, but instead, you guys killed the monster in 15 minutes, and we got to go into some roleplay. And so, the biggest surprise for me has been how well. I've been afraid going in that I was going to just end the campaign with some of the design I had for the ideas I had for some of these monsters. And no, that's just not how it went down. And I don't usually pull a lot of punches. Like granted, Held nearly killing Joxer and Kriggs. That was as tight as it gets. But I already had in my back pocket one get out of jail free card, because it was Starbucks like last request for Solrin. You know, it wasn't even like, and she literally texted me after that episode was released and was like, hey, I want to give them like one little something, like a blessing before they, you know, And I was like, okay, they can have basically one get out of death free card because you bless them. And that's exactly what had to happen. So yeah, I other than that kind of being a little unnerving, I was really surprised. I've been surprised at how it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. Now, granted, you keep talking about how nervous you guys are going into them. So I guess it's what it needs to be. But and I do, I want you guys to succeed, because otherwise, you know, I've got to come up with a creative way to keep telling the story. But
I mean, if I'm being completely honest, there hasn't been a moment yet where I feel like we're really in trouble of a, like a team wipe or something like that.
Speak for yourself.
I've always got a way out.
Fight, that last fight. Okay, you always got a way out. And realistically, I probably have a way too. If I want to just like bye to the rest of you, but
in every fight we've been in, I've had something in the back pocket that I could pull out that would probably, if it wouldn't like solve all the problems, it would at least save the situation at hand.
Oh, sure. Tell me that now after I've pulled my pants about a million times.
I know for sure. Like, I feel like at the end of every combat, there's been one of you that's been like, oh, I haven't been hurt at all. Right. And it's usually Davin, but not always. Because his first thing is like, I'm going to dimension door all the heck way over there. That's like his first move in every combat. Oh, by the way, dimension door cape, boof, I'm bamfing over.
But you gave us one magic item to start. I chose a good one.
It's not a complaint. I think it's great.
I actually think we all chose a good one, but
I think everybody.
I love my wings.
Hey, I have a good question for Mikey. It's about spell slots.
Yeah.
Where did the idea for spell slots come from? Is there a story behind that, or what's the story on that?
So it was kind of interesting because I've been trying to kind of play around where I'm a warlock who's not really, you know, following the rules that he should. So I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do, you know, Pact of the Tome, but I also really liked the idea of having some form of, you know, blade. So that's where the Shadowed Blade spell came in. But Pact of the Tome gave me, you know, animal friendship. So, or animal, what's the spell called? Whatever the ritual for calling
it. I have no, it was, now I can't think of it either. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
About the familiars?
Yeah, find familiar. There we go.
Thank you. It was the word familiar animals. I couldn't come up with.
Yeah, yeah, no. And
I knew I was familiar with that spell, but I couldn't think of the word.
Just so familiar. But yeah, no. And so I was just trying to think of something that would really match what I was kind of going for. And I had this weird idea. So it was either bring back... you know, an old furry, you know, friend that we were hunting, the Wolverjack, with some means, or think of like some interesting item that would actually like work with my brewing station. And the fact that, as you know, as I was researching it, you know, spell slots doesn't breathe. He can actually hang out in the brew hole. So I started loving that idea. And then since I already had that you know, ring, and was like, you know what, that this all kind of comes together. I can kind of have this pocket set of spells, and there's you know, spell slots in my pocket.
So the question I have is, has spell slots always been there and now he's just like finally making his presence known? Or did Joxer just recently discover the ability to make him?
Well, yeah. So it was actually the start of season two, the end of season one. Whenever I came back covered in soot and Davin was making fun of me being covered in soot, I had gone over to Justice's to find a, you know, a brazier so I could actually do the spell, because you need, you know, a ton of, you know, charcoal and incense and a brazier.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I, you know, it's like, oh, okay, so I'm kind of covered in this stuff, but I didn't know when to bring him out. And then, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I can clean myself and try to mention this to our also someone following or connected to some other being. Player, Davin.
Yeah, that's why you needed 1,600 pounds of incense.
Ugh, I know. It was so difficult to really like manage. Like, yeah, can I get a ton of this stuff here, please?
So here's a question, just for all of you as players, from from Hair Hair on our Discord. By the way, join the Discord if you want. You can follow the pinned tweet on Twitter. She asks, who's the one that gets edited? Who gets the most like giggles and noise edited out of their audio? That would be a question really for Blaze. But
yeah, that's for me. Well, I just did it right there. Is pretty bad. But at the same time, I kind of leave it. Here's my conundrum. I'm going to go on like a little 2-minute spiel about this. I really want the podcast to feel like you're sitting at our table. It's hard because a part of me also wants to make it an audio drama. So I want it to be highly edited, highly polished, take out the ums, take out the breaks. And I do some of that with some truncate silence, things like that, and make it flow a little bit better. But I also just want to leave a lot of it because I feel like it gives character, personality, and just some flavor. Like you're actually at the table. It's more immersive to me like that. I want it to be somewhere in between audio drama and just sitting at the table with us. So I don't edit a lot of it out. In the times that I have had to edit it out, I'm going to talk about everyone here. A lot of times, druid spells are books. So there is some necessity to clean up the excessive looking up of how druids function. Sometimes...
the 40 seconds of silence while we're all reading what she posted.
Yeah, there are overly squeaky chairs or excessive sounds in the air in the desert that just make noises. So both of my desert boys.
I live by the Nellis Air Force Base, so every once in a while the jets just go flying above too. I try and keep myself muted and not talk during that, but every once in a while I can't help it.
Yeah, and we're an indie show. We're not set up in huge studios and sound rooms and all this stuff. So yeah, it's the nature of the game. But for me though, I'm perfect. So
I don't think I really say all that much. My biggest thing is I'm in a large room that echoes a lot. So if I get loud any sort of way, you're going to hear that.
I think though, overall, I'm proud of the quality and everything. So yeah,
I agree. I think you do a great job and I know. Seriously. I don't make it easy. I think it's maybe gotten better since I've added a noise gate to mine. But but I feel like there's so much response I do that like muting is difficult. So
I also don't like it whenever there's a ton of muting done because I like the little or the little whenever stuff happens. I want that flavor and flair. So the more we can keep it unmuted, I love that. And technology allows for things like noise gates and stuff to make it feasible to do things like that. So
I've always been a push to talk person. So I'm used to having to push a button to unmute just to go, haha, that was funny.
Yeah. That's it feels same weird, though. Doesn't it? Like
it really does.
Like a performance laugh, right?
It's like you're actually laughing, but it's so intentional to make sure other people hear it.
It's like saying LOL when in conversation.
That's LOL. Yeah, that's exact same.
LOL. I know somebody who does that, actually.
I do that.
And I wasn't even talking about you. I know two somebodies. All right, here's a question. This is about the game. And this is kind of for players, really, more than the character. But so in the game, we've just recently had an episode that everybody had a level up situation and everybody had some kind of like encounter or experience. My question is, we did some communicating about, obviously I have everyone's background, you know, backstory. We did some communicating about what your level up is going to get you. But besides that, I just kind of threw some stuff at you guys to see what would happen and what would stick for that episode. My question is, who feels like you've got like a pretty good bead on what's going on with your character and the backstory and all that stuff? And who of you feel like, you know, what in the freak is going on with this? Like how, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on how that's all developing in your character and each of the lore and story of each character. And again, we'll start with Ash if we go initiative order. And this is kind of an adaptation of a question Buck asked. But she was kind of joking that I really want to hear some answers for the Starbuck.
I thought I knew where Gwen's backstory was going to go, but after the last level up, I don't know if I know who I am. I don't know if what I thought was real wasn't real. Like, I don't know. I assume this episode's going to come out If not, this is a spoiler coming up. I like the memory of me getting handed a box and Dale being inside. Like, that's a memory that Gwen doesn't know. And I didn't even think of. Like, I remember talking about how I met Dale before, how I took him to a taxidermy. And it's like, did that actually happen? Now I don't know. Now I feel like a crazy lady and I'm going to be guessing every move that happens. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. I have an idea, but I don't know. So, but.
How does that make you feel?
Kind of nervous. Because as the player, I want to metagame and be like, okay, if this happens, then this is going to happen. And then I'm going to know what to do. And now I don't really know. I know what I'm going to do in battles, but I don't know what I'm going to do role-playing wise. And it kind of scares me. But
we're cool.
It brings on a challenge. Yeah. So
quick update. Our DM looks real smug through half of what she just said.
Smug. He's real proud of himself. I'm just enjoying the conversation. I'm having a good time today. Uh-huh. Oh man. Derek, you're next.
I think that my backstory was pretty detailed, I think. So, or decently detailed. So I think I have a pretty good idea of where I'm at currently. That doesn't mean I know exactly what's gonna happen. And there are things that have been mentioned that I think are going to have a lot bigger of a play in the future that I have no idea what about. But as of the current situation where I am right now, I don't think there's any big surprises necessarily. I think the future is going to be a little bit different. I think some people have mentioned that they're really confused or call me a demon boy or something like that. But I mean, come on. It's to me, it's funny. That's the thing that's funny about like knowing your own backstory is there's nothing that seems like a surprise. It's almost like a magic trick, right? It's like, yeah. I know how the magic trick works, and you obviously know how the magic trick works better than I do. So it seems so obvious. Everything seems so obvious, but apparently it's not as obvious as I thought.
Yeah. What's crazy about your backstory is I could have designed a whole campaign around your backstory and it would have just felt like a normal campaign. There was so much there that I could have just like said, hey, we're just going to take the whole campaign that direction. I kind of mixed everybody's into what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's better, because otherwise you don't want it to be too focused on one person, because then that's...
Yeah, it's like I could have strawberries, or I could have peanut butter, or I could have ice cream, or I could have chocolate chips, or I could put them all in a milkshake together and make that, and that's what I did. I made the milkshake.
The show turns into Davin and the Hired Swords.
Yeah. So next is Blaze. What do you think about backstory and how that's developing? What's up?
Well... I feel like season one was pretty Kriggs heavy as far as backstory is concerned. So I'm in a good place with my character and kind of knowing what he's about. this last level up was not super Kriggs heavy lore wise. It's just like, hey, you get stronger and you're being blessed by the wilds essentially with more strength. And that's all well and good. I think that I'm nervous because you have a lot of potential up your sleeve with the various armies, and like if they recognize with family that exists out there that I haven't spoken to in forever, and like there's tons you could possibly and potentially do that is constantly keeps me on edge, especially like whenever we travel around in season one around Stone Mountains and whatnot. I'm like, uh-oh. Like,
yeah.
Let's not go that direction. I feel like he's in a good place to just kind of stretch and spread his wings, both figuratively and not figuratively.
How about Mikey?
Yeah, so I kind of the opposite from what Davin was working with, because I like to grow a character as I play. So I gave you kind of a good framework to where I was, but I didn't know where it was going to go with or go to. And like the first season, I started feeling, you know, that guiding light, with, the lady that I've, you know, had in my sights. And this last level up, I'm excited and terrified at the same time of where it's going. 'Cause I think I have, I mean, it's a pretty simple concept, but I don't know what Joxer's going to do as you kind of create this little visual and path for me. It's also changing who I am after every one of those events. So my actions are going to change slightly based on that. And I love it. It's so much fun.
Awesome. It's funny because you are almost the opposite of me in every way, because Davin does know what's going on. He knows exactly who he's dealing with, and he has a plan in case something goes wrong. And yeah, it sounds like you are the opposite of that.
Yeah. And I know from, you know, creating the character who it is, but what, and I guess what it means to Joxer, but what happens with Joxer at that fruition is still up in the air. I as a character had intentions from an emotional standpoint, but I didn't have an actual like plan on what he was going to do with it. He had this idea of where he wanted to go, but everything in his life has changed. I mean, you know, between meeting all of you and you know, Wild Hill, and just literally everything, along with growing and getting closer to this being, it's all up in the air.
Awesome. Just some behind the kind of stuff I in. Like, I always write way more than I use for your guys' stuff like that, because I react in the moment to what you're doing and things change. And one thing is, I had it planned for Kriggs all the mushrooms to say, "Thank you, Mushroom Daddy," at the end of your level up.
I loved it.
I had it planned, and I don't remember why. It just didn't, I don't know if it didn't feel like it made sense or if I just forgot or what, but I totally had a plan. And
I think
I mentioned it in the next episode. I said something like a gift for the Mushroom Daddy or something, but I totally had it planned. That was like the last thing that happened, was you heard the whispers, "Thank you, Mushroom Daddy."
So my question for you then is, was the mushroom, all that part of the story already in place and it was a coincidence that he became the Mushroom Daddy, or did you kind of adapt that based off of his story?
I made Lonely Hill before we started recording this podcast about a year and a half ago.
So the Mushroom Daddy is all a coincidence.
It was all fungus, like, you know, all these fungus. It was going to be
fungus,
like,
among us.
They get in your head and made it impossible to attack any of them. Without making, you know, like that part where you almost step on one and you almost fall because you physically cannot step on this mushroom. That was all part of that whole, like, you become part of their hive mind, can't harm them. And so I was working towards that to make this kind of menacing in your head kind of feeling. And then you have to go down and destroy what's causing it. So whack. So yeah, I had a plan for that. I just had to like upgrade everything, because we didn't get to it until you guys were much higher level than the mushroom thing, the Mushroom Daddy, all that was just that all just happened to be the case. I didn't create the mushroom. And then even getting there, because on the map there was three ways to get to the Black River. I mean, there's really a multitude of ways, but they're like, if you followed a trail, you would have followed a trail. One of them would have led you to Lonely Hill, and then there was two other options. And you guys chose, well, during the whole, like, Ash flying off as a bird. When Gwen flies off as a bird and she's like, "What do I see?" I'm like, "I mean, you see a hill over there and a camp," because that's where she was heading. It just, on the map, that's where she was going. And so that became where you guys chose. And I will, another behind the scenes, I did shrink the distance a little bit, because I was like, they're running as wolves. I don't need to be like, it takes you 4 days of running as wolves to get there. They took a shortcut.
That's good content right there.
Yeah. They took a shortcut. So, I did have a lot of stuff on there for your guys's level ups, that not a lot of stuff that I didn't use. There was a lot of stuff for Derek's, because there was supposed to be a lot more, drama and less Derek just being, you know, Davin just being a bad mamma jamma.
Polymorph. All you had to do was pass it.
So, yeah, I know. Just not roll so low on that saving throw. But yeah, so it's just cool to see you guys go through the different level up process and making that a little bit narrative and not just, I don't know. I've done that. Had that kind of attitude about level ups since the first campaign I did at Around the Table. So several years ago, kind of done that then. But The next question I have for you all is I want to know your most surprising moment or situation in this season two, these 14, 15 episodes, whatever we're at of season two. What's kind of the thing that stands out to you as the thing that you weren't expecting and happened and you were just kind of, whoa, okay. Anybody?
Another spoiler, so please turn off. Mine was when I was doing the Night Watch with Joxer and I had to roll because of the fog that was coming in around me and Gwendolyn became apathetic. That was something I was not ever expecting. Just a change of attitude.
I became a valley girl.
Yeah. I was over the situation.
That was a random table roll.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's crazy how much improv we do with this and how much it's real dice rolls. It's not, we ain't doing no fake stuff.
I know. It's amazing. Insane. Yeah. It's amazing to me how much it kind of, and I don't know. I don't know if it's our reaction to it makes it work or if it literally just the fates want our story to make sense, but it's kind of weird.
The dice know what need to happen.
The dice know what need.
They do.
Especially the Starbucks dice.
I said somewhere along the lines that the majority of the fate of our campaign has been decided by Starbucks dice. So how much of it is just like, she's the fate master of the whole show.
Yeah totally. Yeah. Totally. And then her character literally resurrected one of you. Yeah. All right. Who else? Something, a moment that kind of stands out as the most kind of surprising.
I guess Derek's next.
I there's nothing that's jumping out to me as like super surprising. I guess, Teld coming back was a pretty good story arc thing to happen. I think I really enjoyed him popping back up as the bad guy in the Goblin Village.
Cool.
I don't know. I mean, I've enjoyed some of the mysteries that have come up, but there's nothing really that's jumped out to me as like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Or that's super surprising to me, at least not in this moment. I'll probably think of something later when it's somebody else's turn to talk.
Nice.
For me, what the most creative or, I guess, unique thing that we've run into, just the shadows overall and like not really knowing what they are and the unique like experiences that we have had when approaching them and how they've manipulated themselves or have been manipulated, that it just adds a lot of mystique and mystery to me, and it keeps me wanting to push forward, but also just like, this is going to kill me if I keep pushing forward.
Oh wait, I kind of sort of thought of something. I told you I would. Being able to hear each other's thoughts, I was not expecting something like that to pop up.
Ooh,
and that was one of those things like, oh crap, this could be really interesting.
Yeah. You know?
Is that why the other group killed themselves, like died in the beginning? Because we walked into the cave and there was a bunch of dead people.
Well, you know, my idea was that there are many people.
Question for you.
I don't want to get too deep here, but a lot of my planning for NPCs and characters has to do with their motives. And I think when you get a bunch of guys with the motives that those NPCs had going into this adventure, like for them going into this mission, those motives would conflict with each other. And as soon as they no longer could keep secrets from each other, that's it. Like they're only, you know, their bond is not there to protect them from the secrets that they, you know, are keeping from each other.
They're a bunch of alpha males.
Yeah. So you know, it's just when that happens, there's just no way they would be able to last. And so they didn't make it out because of that. I think with so many, and here's my statement of everything means something. Whenever everybody's trying to be the most powerful, you all lose.
Yeah, I totally expected that. Okay. Perfect. I caught that one as it was anticipated to be.
That's what you thought, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of predictable if you know me too well, but yeah. How about Mikey? Do you have a
So I can't say I've been like surprised by, you know, events as much. Maybe that last battle where we all tied ourselves together and it was like,
we almost screwed ourselves there.
Yeah. It's like every
that was
idea.
So good.
So every time I come up with something small, I'm like, yeah, no, this would be a great idea. Oh no, the light's blinding us. Oh no, this. I'm like, oh, bless. Never mind. I'm just not going to do anything. But there's so many small things. And like Tomba, you know, having that necklace and being kind of taken up, or the little love interest for our Gabo friend in the village.
It's because of Sweetie.
Yeah. And it's so many like tiny things and Gwen going, you know, going Valley Girl and that one, I had Remove Curse for a while, but it was like, I don't know if I want to waste the spell slot. I don't know. And you know, there's just so many rich character choices that you make for this world that kind of blew my mind in the moment. And then also for us, each one of our characters having our like spastic moments, you know, whether it be, you know, shaking the bars of a gel cell to, you know, make Joxer angry, or Gwen just losing it and blowing up a necklace and, you know, pulling out Team Truffles and just destroying, you know, these mushrooms. It's just so many fun bits that like it's all the small things that really add together.
Yeah. Yeah. No Blink-182 riff. That's good. Yeah, I've been shocked by your guys' response to a lot of things. Getting across the river in Lonely Hill was pretty fun. Not just like the floating disc thing was a great idea, and I thought, oh, that's a great call. You know, I knew there would be a magical way to get across. I didn't know what it would be, but I figured they'll come up with some magical way to get across. And then the way you guys played that off that made it so fun.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we all had ways we could have got across. It just mattered how much resources we wanted to spend, you know?
Right, of course. And not knowing what's over there, you know, and that's the idea. That's the strategy.
That's D&D for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes it, well, part of what makes it fun. But I also think that your guys just, well, I was very shocked by the response to the necklace and the, not just Gwyn's like blowing it up, but Davin being so protective of it, and just the literal opposite opinions of we have to destroy this, and then if we release it, we can't release this. Like the two viewpoints on the same issue, both of you being completely justified in your opinions and thoughts. Mm. Like neither one of you know if you're right or wrong, but this is how you feel like you should handle this situation. That was a really fun dynamic.
It's also cool in those moments that it's not like we planned that out. It's not like we wrote any of this stuff down. It was just, she came up with her opinion on why it would be a thing. And I came up with my opinion on why it should be a thing. And then that was both, like you said, valid reasons from totally different sides.
Yeah, and knowing what I know, there are reasons for each of you to feel the way you feel, you know, that makes sense for your character. And that's just super fun. When you play true to your character like that, it's just really fun.
I won't lie. It felt awkward that night, because I was like, I'm not actually mad at Derek, but my character is.
Yeah, it was the same way. Yeah.
I think one of us post in the Discord afterwards, like, hey, we're cool, right? Everybody's cool. It may have been me. I've had a couple angry characters around or angry players situations around a table before, and that is not, I don't enjoy it, so.
It's, that was one of the moments that I felt the most, just thinking from David's perspective. Like a lot of times when you're role playing, you're thinking, okay, what would this person be like in this sort of situation? That was like one of the few moments where I was like, I know exactly how he's feeling, sort of thing.
A little more method at that point, right?
Yeah, like, it was.
I am Davin right now. Yeah. That's awesome. That's how I get with every end. That's why when you guys start fighting with it personally. Just kidding. But awesome. So I was curious what stood out to you guys because of just the different paths everything has taken through the show. And I think that part of just doing an improv show, which we 100% do, we don't we don't know where each other is going to go, but you guys are all so good at just that yes and, man. Let's just keep moving and go with it. And it makes it really fun. So here's a fun question, kind of a couple fun questions also from Chair Hair here. If you could have Davin prestidigitate each of the party to have a permanent fragrance, what would it be? What permanent fragrance should each member of the party get from a permanent prestidigitate?
I think all of them would just smell like tuna salad sandwich. That way I always know when they're coming nearby.
Good point. That's a great idea.
Hard pass.
Yeah. So Gwen gets the scent of bark.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe just a hint of sap in there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Sap and bark.
Sappy that Christmas bark. Tree smell.
No, I mean, Davin will use it for fun for prestidigitation. God, that's such a hard word to say, too. I wish they would have made it easier spell. For smells, he does it for fun, but mostly he just use it to keep himself clean. That's why he has the whole spell.
You know, I'm going to pop a question in here. What can you tell me without revealing too much backstory is Davin's fascination with, like, having to stay clean?
There literally is none. It was something that was a joke in the very beginning, and I just kept running with it to where it's just his character now.
Oh, I love it. It's an amazing, amazing, like, character feature.
Yeah. After doing it, like, once or twice, I was just kind of like, Davin just likes to be clean. That's just the way it's going to be.
That is
fantastic.
It's a great example of what Mikey was talking about with just the little character details that just make something feel real, you know, and realistic. Because everyone has that kind of stuff, right? Real people have those weird little quirks, but there's nothing crazy or dramatic behind it. It's just what they are. I love that.
I like the idea that he completely figured out how to do a spell just to clean himself off.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason he has
maximum laziness, but it's just efficiency.
Yep.
Yeah. I gotta use this spell. I can't deal with soap and water right now.
I mean, you know, not all bathhouses are everywhere, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
There's not always. And you've come across very few bodies of water, Bane. So
at least ones that haven't tried to kill us in some way.
They all seem to be dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I'm not a fan of swimming. Maybe that's something deep down inside of me.
I don't love the pool.
That's for your psychiatrist, not for us.
I just grew up in the desert.
Oh, you mean you're not actually our group psychiatrist, Davin?
Davin may be, but Derek is not.
Oh, well, I'm going to stop paying you then. That check's no longer in the mail.
Yeah, the last one bounced anyways. It's fine.
I believe it. What, with the income I get from this podcast? That's impossible. So, awesome. So let's just kind of talk the future of this episode, of this show. Like, reaching level 12. What are you most excited about for your character? Maybe mechanically, maybe not mechanically, just roleplay wise, whatever. What are you most excited about for your character in the future? Or, you know, what do you think Gwen is most excited about moving forward? If anything, what about Davin? What about Briggs, Doxer? What are they looking forward to moving for you on their behalf?
As a player, I am interested to learn more about Dale. I think a lot of the audience might. I have so many questions about Dale. I don't know where the story is going to go. I have assumptions of, is he a reincarnation of my dad? Is he someone else? Is he an actual spirit that's been guiding me this whole entire time? Is he actually Gwen and I'm just a body that just follows this chipmunk?
Like a Ratatouille thing?
I have no idea. So... that's what I'm most interested. Like, I have my backstory of finding my father. That's obviously a main goal, but I am getting more and more curious of, is Dale actually alive? Is he actually dead? Am I actually crazy? And I just talk to dead animals. So that's something I am eager to learn about. So many assumptions. I'm the what if child in my family.
I love it. What about Davin?
What was the question? I just had a blank.
What do you think? What are you excited about? Or what are you excited
That's
about?
Right. That's
with
right.
Davin okay. in the future or
nope, what do you you're think good. I got it. About? I got it. Great. Okay. I got it. What was the question? No, I'm kidding. I think one of the things for me as a player is I have spells and abilities that I have now or coming up that I have not got to use, but are tied to my backstory. I try and connect everything. So the decisions I made for my character are part of my backstory too. Like if we were to share our D&D Beyond character profiles, whatever you call them, character sheets, I don't think I could because it has spoilers in it.
That's awesome.
So right now, like I'm excited to use that stuff. I'm excited to like just tell Davin's story at this point. You know, I'm tired of holding secrets.
That's awesome.
But at the same time, you want things to come out naturally.
Go ahead, demon boy. Spill it.
Okay. He's not a demon. Sorry. I've already said this before. I'm a divine soul sorcerer. Literally, the word divine.
That's a good point.
Demon. No demon.
That's a good point.
Interesting. Good point. And you also speak celestial.
I do speak celestial, yes.
I didn't realize you'd be a divine demon. That's so weird.
You were gifted.
That's so weird.
Not only do you speak celestial, you were gifted celestial somehow. Like you just you just know how
to do it. I just know how to do it. Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. But that also comes.
That's also most of his magic in general, though, is he just kind of figures out how to do it. He doesn't actually learn it. You know, just kind of part of him. But it's kind of the opposite of Gwen in the fact that she has like a goal, you know, that she's going towards. She wants to find her father.
Yeah.
Davin's, again, kind of the opposite in the way that he doesn't have a goal. He doesn't have anything he's actually moving toward. He's closer to running away from something than he is to running towards something.
That was a big reveal right there alone. That's mm-hmm. good. All right. Before you give too much, let's go to Kriggs. Or Sofren. Sorry. Should I never call him Kriggs again? I need clarity on. Okay.
I think I'm most excited about like the potential of running into either family or expats from Helm's Army or whatever. Like that's gonna be a fun conversation whenever something like that ever happens. I also have something up my sleeve that I've been planning on for a long time, but I can't tell you what it is because it's just gonna change the world. Although the way that things are going, it's gonna be a while.
Yeah, I know, right? Like we're level 12. There's only 8 levels to go before we level out. How are we gonna tell the story in 8 more levels and that's it?
Level 30, here we come.
I know, right? Or you guys are just gonna have to be okay with long times between level ups.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, that's how most gaming systems treat leveling.
That's true. And milestone leveling, it's kind of like we got to hit a certain point and then boom, that gives you. That's kind of the approach I take is the. So we got to get Joxer's answer. What are you excited about with?
Yeah, so there's a handful of things, but really it's more about the Joxer's ability. And I think he's getting to the point where he's starting to get some abilities that are either going to kind of change the party's view of him or potentially just give him a little bit more battle prowess. So I'm excited to see where that kind of takes him, whether it be, you know, for better or for worse.
I'm actually really excited about those conversations that inevitably are going to come. Whenever Joxer starts being super sketch and whenever Davin is already super sketch, but it's like, hey, hold up. We need to have a talk.
How am I more sketch than he is? He has a dead hand that follows him around.
All right, Lightning Eye.
Oh, yeah. No, the last episode, that didn't go away, did it?
Nope.
One eye, one color. The other eye, a different color.
Well, his eyes were always green. So they're both still green. Just one has a white pupil now and some kind of lightning streaks going through it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's like a really weird heterochromia.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Super cool. I'm excited about unwrapping some of the mysteries as you guys really get into this fog and such. That's coming very soon as we face what's coming. And I'm excited about that and I feel like right now we're kind of at like a mid-season point. Like a mid-season high point, and we're going to push into this long extended point of seeing some questions answered. I think. I hope. I hope you guys ask the right questions so I can answer them.
I very look forward to what's on the other side of this death wall that we're facing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know what's over there. I know what's happening. I know what's coming, and I have no clue
what's going to happen. What if it's just an Arby's?
I mean, get some
horsey sauce.
And yeah, you had beef and cheddar and some sprinkle fries because curly fries are garbage.
What?
Wait, come on. Come on.
Unpopular opinion. The seasoning on curly fries tastes like feet.
Well, then why even go to Arby's? Why? I mean, that's the whole reason.
They got the meats.
Well, let's be honest. Does anybody actually go to Arby's?
Not sponsored by Arby's.
Yeah.
People do go to Arby's. I go to Arby's.
But Arby's, reach out if you want to sponsor.
Yeah, we'd love to. I mean, I'll work with some. All day.
Yeah, that bounce check. I mean,
yeah. You don't even have to send me money. Just send me beef and cheddar coupons. I'm in.
There you go.
The bigger, the better.
Nobody else agrees. They're like,
I have a question. Do you have an idea of, now that we've kind of decided that we have seasons, do you have an idea of what the end of season two is going to be without, of course, revealing anything?
I do. I know right at the trigger of where we're going to end season two. Here's the issue is, and without revealing too much, mechanically, there's a difficulty here because you're going to hit a point where you're going to get so powerful that there's not a lot I can do to challenge, right? Besides, like, let's face the gods. You know what I mean?
And I mean, so, there's at least one of us that's like, let's do that. Come on.
I know. And so, so that takes us to a whole different, like, almost different show, you know, whenever it gets that high and that intense. And so
then you just throw calculus at us.
Right. And to just be completely transparent, I've never run anybody that high. The highest my last campaign got was 50. And so, and then everybody moved away and we had trouble getting together to play. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be fun to see where it goes and how we do it. And literally my I know where I want everything to end up, but the path to get there changes almost every time we record. So because I want to react to what you guys are doing. So,
it'll be fine. When we face that final boss, just throw in like twice as many kobolds as you were planning in the first place. Kobolds? And it'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's throw two more goblins and
pack tactics.
Not the goblins.
Six bandits and some wolves. You guys got it. Yeah. If I throw in wolves, Gwyn will just become their best friend.
Of course.
That doesn't work. Yeah. So that's kind of the thing for me is I kind of know the point where I actually heard some advice early on, started planning D&D, and was treat it like a TV show where you know how it's going to start and how it's going to end and then let the middle play out as you go. And kind of how this I've known since the beginning where I want everything to end up, but the path is I have had probably 7 or 8 different iterations of like the end game per season or per game.
You know? You're talking about life.
I know, right?
I know where I want to go, but this is how I get there.
Yeah. How I get there changes every morning when I wake up. Yeah.
For sure. Like I'm trying to get to Arby's, but Google Maps keeps saying take a left, and I end up taking a right.
And I show up at KFC. And they got meats, but it's not the meats I want.
This episode is also not sponsored by KFC.
Yet.
So any other questions anybody has for the group or for anybody else? Let me look at our Discord and see. I got a few on there, but I think I've asked them as we wrap this. Oh, I got something here. No, nothing. Just people commenting about Davin's demonic origins.
So I have one. So in I guess the opposite side of how we viewed your level up sequences. Are our characters turning out in the way that you are like expected them in a manner? Since you knew that backstory and how you planned or how you could see it going, have any of us kind of, I guess, taken a 180 on that end?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Krieg's definitely was a way different than I expected. And that happened in season one, though, with his ejecting helm, you know. That turned out to be
haven't
pretty cool.
Haven't you taken enough?
Yeah, exactly. That turned out to be pretty cool and I better, you know, than it could have. And then as far as the rest of you, like Gwyn, she has, believe it or not, I feel like Gwyn has simmered down a little bit in season two.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to some older episodes and she's such a hothead. And I don't even mean just like, blowing up the necklace, yeah, but like that was like acting on a passion. But like, I couldn't have an NPC say hardly anything without Gwyn being like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him right now.
So, I don't trust Gwyn.
Yeah. Nobody could get by with anything. Everybody was the devil. And and it's like, I think he's, well, number one, everybody is kind of out to get you now where you're at. So I guess that's one thing. Number two, I think she's seen evil. She's seen darkness. She's seen the bad. And she knows she's, Gwyn's better at identifying than she was. And she's seen the good, like with Gis and the goblins, seen that things that have been spoken about as bad all this time aren't always. And so we've got to figure out what the person's. So I've kind of seen that growth in Gwyn, even if it's not intentional by Ash.
Well, and we've also had a couple of instances and conversations with Gwyn to where like, hey, we need to calm it down a little bit first.
Yeah, following the and the
and she immediately runs off and does not comment down.
Yeah, that's true.
But the banter and the back and forth has been kind of cool seeing you guys coach each other and like life advice for each other as a group in a party. And I think like in game, you guys have been together close to 6-8 months now, right? In game. So there's this bond that's formed. And I think with Joxer, his level of curiosity and obsession about the brewing and about the, well, now that we've revealed as the Seeker, that's something that has been cool to see, because I know I could put that figure, I could put her figure somewhere and Joxer's going to follow and I could make something happen. Mm-hmm. Like he's like laser focused. And so that's cool. And I may use it someday for everyone's detriment. So, and that's a promise. But yeah, I think those are things that have really kind of not necessarily surprised me, but given me like a, I don't know, an unexpected just bonus to run in you guys' game is, you know, just giving me more to use, like more fodder for all of our thing, all of the stuff, how to handle stuff within the reading minds. Like some of you guys are not going to like that and like going to try to keep your brain as empty as possible or just think about as much as possible so that nothing makes sense, you know, and seeing you guys handle that was cool because I knew some of you not your mind read. So that was cool. I'm grateful for you guys making it for me, except for in combat. It's no. Okay. I'm supposed to lose. But yeah, I think we're about out of time, but everybody, I appreciate you guys answering these questions. Hopefully listeners enjoyed hearing some of the kind of our thoughts about the game. It's fun. We get to do some banter and stuff in Discord with people who listen, but this is a fun way to just kind of unpack what we've been thinking about the campaign. As you guys get ready to cross the Black River, hopefully we'll see what happens moving that direction, moving as far north as you can get, and we'll see what's over there and what that means to the Hired Swords. But thank you guys for talking with me.
Wait, I got one more question. This is for everybody. Okay. Horsey sauce or Arby's sauce?
Closing question. You mix them.
Arby's sauce.
You mix them.
Or what?
You mix them?
No.
Horsey sauce.
No, just shut turn it off. You end it. Kill it. We're done here.
Get out.
You dip your regular fries in the mixed.
Sure.
Horsey sauce.
Okay, this is the last episode of any Hired Swords product. We are finished.
Get out of here with... I don't even know you. Who are you?
So weird.
No, we have stopped the show.
Fries. Why would you even do that?
Due to,
I don't even know why they have Horsey sauce.
Arby's.
Yeah.
What is Horsey sauce?
This episode, like installment of the Hired Swords. This is Blaze talking about Harvey sauce. Nice.
Guys, it's good. Try it. Next time you go to Arby's, just try a little bit of it.
That's going to imply that I'm going to go to Arby's.
I figure you'll end up there at some point.
Yeah, I still have a lot of life left to live. I'm going to end up in Arby's at some point.
That's what I'm saying. Just don't forget, you got to mix your horsey sauce with the Arby's sauce at least once. Give it a dip with whatever fry you choose. It's good.
What is horsey sauce?
It's horseradish sauce.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it's great. It gives the Arby's sauce a good little like. Tang. Effervescent.
Let's just get wasabi sauce and throw it in with Arby sauce, and then we're fine.
You can't call it wasabi sauce though; it'd have to be like wasi sauce.
Wasi.
Uh, boom, cat, boom, cat, yeah, yeah, we're the swords.